Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media, design with an edge.
Night. We're going to sit here and we're going to talk MMA all night long. Like always... Hey, turn that RFA off, bro. Mute that shit. The fight's already over. We all know who won. Like always, we have Lepaki with me, my co-host, partner in crime and most things in life. And then we got the man himself behind Clinch Cut the Mouth Cart and the newest sponsor for the gift pack for the Dirty Dozen on MMA Inside the Cage. Folks, shit out, get it, put it out, post it up in there, enter it, man. All your buddies who fight when you videotape those things, man, shoot them there if he's got a clean knockout or a great finish, man. You guys can win some sick gear. So you guys can go to MMAMadhouse.com to find links for all kinds of great stuff from our sponsors. I want to give a big shout-out to the sponsors who take care of the Rogue Show, though, because I got to tell you what, Aggressive MMA Clothing, they shot me a package. I'm super pumped. Got a sick-ass hat that has embroidered Madhouse on it. That's pretty sick. Also, big shout-out to our boys over at GoFi Live TV, JaxMedia.ca, Jax Media Canada on Twitter. You guys, we're getting ready to drop a ridiculous new website. If you guys could see what this looks like already, you'd be shitting yourselves. Also, Greg at Ink Tank, man. God does all my ink. You can do yours too. Badass artists, great custom artists from around the country, guest spotting there all the time. Big shout out to our other sponsor, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Everyone go to getclinched.com. Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. In the immortal words of Lapaki, it's a G-Pen life, baby. And MMAMadhouse.com. And one of the original, the very first sponsor of this show, who just told me today that he wants to sign up for another year because he's very happy. Dan in the Clock Tower Pub, big shout out to you guys. I know you guys have a big change going there, but folks, it won't affect you. You guys can go there and watch UFC tomorrow. You guys can go there and watch Bellator's on Thursdays. You guys can go down there and watch RFA tonight if you were down early enough. Big shout out to our sponsors. We love them all. You guys check them out. Lapaki, Jeff, what the fuck's up?
I don't know, man. Tonight, my version of the Rogue Show is brought to you by Tropical Starburst.
Yeah, and mine's brought to you by cannabis. Washington-grown apples. Washington-grown apples.
And cannabis energy drink.
I don't have any cannabis energy drink, man. You hog all this stuff from the sponsors.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what. Today, one of our sponsors for MMA Madhouse. Actually, I got some good news for you about that, actually, but I'll tell you off air. But one of our sponsors, Central Oregon Trike. Anybody out there knows what a trike is? Jeff, Lapaki, you guys know. If you guys don't, Google trike, T-R-I-K-K-E, and then go find Central Oregon Trike on Facebook and like him. He's a trike racer, but Derek's always triking everywhere. This motherfucker all day long. No shit, Jeff. Lapaki knows. He was there. I was talking to him on the phone. This dude be triking through downtown. All of a sudden, cuts down the alley to the back door of the shop and bolts in the shop. So you got a 6'9" guy, like 220, triking through your store, dude, and then right back out the door and gone. I was like, what the fuck? What's his problem? And then he decided to post a picture and act like he was going to do a trike race, the IGS 500. But
6'9".
He's got to be 6'2", and he's got 6-inch tires on his trike.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, and then you got another 1.5 to 2-inch riser above the wheels before the foot placement. You know, so I would say he's close to 6'9". It's insane because if you guys could watch him, I'll be sitting there just getting all blazed at work, and all of a sudden I'll look out and he's going right to traffic, right down the road. So funny.
That just sounds good. I'm just sitting here getting bulb blazed at work. There we go.
Watching Derek race through the grow shop.
Just
join the
shipping. Let me tell you.
Just handling your money. No worries.
Well, my long story short, Derek hooked me up at lunch today with some of his famous cookies. And, wow, dude.
Are you invisible?
So right. I'm feeling wonderful.
He took a nap.
I had to take a nap when I got home, okay? This is the first time in like maybe 6-8 months I've taken a nap in the middle of the fucking day.
Yeah, for it makes you invisible, just so you know.
Hey, you guys talk. Let me check out these phone lines.
Oh, hey, thanks for your permission, dude. I'm glad. Hey, Jeff, how does it feel to not get muted for once and just actually be allowed to talk?
That's weird. I'm sure he's probably going to mute us any second, but it's intriguing, I guess. It's kind of odd.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Why do I feel like I'm doing something wrong?
I don't know, man. I don't really feel like I'm... I don't really enjoy having, like, that big, heavy cloud over us all the time, having to worry about that.
You know, I thought it was a boat anchor pulling us down. I didn't realize it was above us. Yes, it is.
It could be a boat anchor for sure.
Hey
so,
guys,
what do you think, man? We're eight days out from Kovacs Hamilton.
Are we?
Hey, before we jump into that, let me invite in Casey. You guys all know Casey Oxidine from MMA Inside the Cage. He was on last week, went to the MMA draft. He's back this week to hang out. So, and I thought he'd be a great guy to have in this conversation. So, Lapaki, why don't you start that over?
What conversation?
What you just
asked. MFC. Rama.
Well,
Hamilton.
No, the fight is still next weekend is Anthony Hamilton and Matt Kovacs, from what I understand.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that's do you think it's going to happen? Do you think they're going to let him?
Why wouldn't they?
He's 6 weeks away from a world title fight. For
I don't think they let it happen.
I think I would be surprised after what happened with the last heavyweight fight he just tried to have. I think he would. I'd be surprised if he let something go down like that.
What do you think, Casey?
He probably doesn't like the story.
Well, you can he can probably understand the situation.
Would you worry,
Casey? Hey, are you there? I know I unmuted him.
Okay, I'm not sure if you know what you did. You're probably looking at a fucking light bright or something over there right now.
Hold on, I'm gonna try this again. Let's see what happens. Okay. Casey, are you there?
Way to go, Skip. Way to go.
Still got it.
So you don't think that you think they canceled the fight, huh?
I think that Pavlich will.
Sorry. Hey, we lost Casey. He's gonna call back in. Hey, do I got Cyrus with us though?
Who?
Cyrus?
No, this is Jeff.
Oh, hey.
Oh, what's
Jeff,
up, man?
What's up,
guys? I missed you last week. Had a lot of shit going on.
Last week was a good one.
Yeah, you guys did that draft or some shit, right?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
That was fun. We actually
I only
lost.
Got to listen to part of the show, and I had a whole bunch of shit come up, man. But everything's good now. Smooth. I need to listen to the rest of it, though. How you guys doing? You all right?
Yeah. Kicking it. Here we go. Hey, we got Casey. We should have Casey back now. Casey, what's up, brother?
Hey, man, I'm sorry I lost you. I fell off.
Okay. Lapaki asked you a question.
I'll tell him. I'll just tell him the situation. All right, so there's a regional championship fight next weekend, and there's a MFC World Heavyweight Championship. What is it, October 4th, Jeff? And one guy's in each fight. Do you think they let him fight next week, or does MFC try to pull him out of the fight?
So he's supposed to fight in, is it Cage 4 he's supposed to fight in?
Yeah.
Okay, and so is that coming up first and then MFC's following?
Yeah.
And so you think that they're going to try to pull the guy off of the Cage 4 show so that he doesn't get injured for the MFC fight?
Well, I think they'll fight 6 weeks apart. 6 weeks is not much.
And don't forget what happened to Rama's last heavyweight fight with the last. I know it's a medical issue, but I think Mark Pavlich is gunshot.
Think about this. Yep. If Kovacs knocks him out, maybe he gets the shot at MFC.
No, it's in Canada.
Touche.
You go to Canada? He'll go to Canada with
you. No. So what do you think, Casey?
So, is this Hamilton and Kovacs?
Yeah.
Okay. And Kovacs, is he the regional fighter from Cage Sport in that region?
Yeah.
We were the champion before.
I got you. And so they're trying to MFC. You think they're trying to pull him off of that card because they're afraid that he's going to get beaten before MFC?
No, the guy he's fighting Anthony Hamilton. The guy Kovacs is fighting, Anthony Hamilton, is also signed to fight Shmielino Rama at MFC in October.
Oh, I got you. Huh. So, what's your question?
Well, we're just wondering, do you think... Yeah. Do you think MFC lets that fight happen next weekend, or do they try to pull him out of it?
Gosh, I don't know. I've only worked one time with MSD. I had one guy that was going to go up there, and he was going to fight way up, what is Edmonton? Is where
Yeah,
we were going to go out there, and we didn't end up doing it. We do, like, where we are in the Southeast, we mostly work with the XFC, and so, but they're kind of the equivalent of MSD where they're at, and, I definitely think they're going to try to, they'll try to keep a bigger, draw off of a lower card, but it just depends on, you said that's October, and you think they're afraid they'll pull it off because it'll hurt their credentials, or just that he'll get injured and won't be able to take the fight?
I think injured. He could get knocked out.
I don't know. I don't know Pavlich, although you're talking about MSC with Mark Pavlich, correct?
Yeah.
I don't really know how he does. I know he's kind of a zany character. I don't know how he really, acts with that. I mean, he seems, to be a little bit territorial. Are you guys afraid that that's going to happen and you're not going to get to see the fight?
I'm not worried about it. I mean, if I get to see I'll see the fight eventually, either way.
Yeah.
The parking lot and the building.
Yeah. I mean, that fight's going to happen. I think 6 weeks is far enough apart.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, unless he's in sometimes they do exclusive contracts and they say, that he's exclusive. And then, like when a lot of guys that sign XFC, they basically say, if you're going to fight anywhere else, you got to get approval. And so, they could pull him, but, I agree. I mean, 6 weeks is, well enough. I mean, somebody's trying to make a living in the sport, the way it is right now, unless you're in like the big, the bigger shows. I mean, even UFC. You can't make a living, in my opinion, and fighting every 6 weeks is pretty pretty feasible for a full-time fighter.
I just think, given what happened last time with Schmeliano's guy falling out at the last minute, that he's going to be extra cautious, extra paranoid that something will go wrong, and he'll have another heavyweight title fight fall out, look foolish.
I agree.
Be a hard ass
thing
to say you can't fight if you want it.
I agree. I think Mark has got too much invested in what's considered to be one of the top heavyweight in all of Canada. I don't think he risks this fight again.
I don't know. 6 weeks is enough time to get a replacement, too.
It is that.
It's not 6 days.
Did you see whose contract it was first? Did you see whose it was first? DJ Lendenfels?
No.
Well, sure, so decided he wouldn't let him take the fight.
Oh, no, yeah.
Went to Hamilton.
Oh, DJ.
DJ had it first. Well, sure, decided he wouldn't let him fight. So he had to give it up, and that's how Hamilton got it.
Yeah, I saw DJ commented that.
What would you thought of that fight? That fight went down. DJ and Rama.
That would have been interesting. I think DJ's the better grappler.
I think he's the right style for you in trouble. Fast enough, agile enough. You're going to have to get away from Rama a little bit when you need to. You can't just go straight up on him or it's trouble. It's trouble everywhere, but that's real trouble.
Have you seen much of Smialino, Casey?
No. I'm having a hard time kind of hearing you guys a little bit. It's kind of, say that one more time.
Oh, I was just wondering what you thought of Schmielino Rama.
I've not seen much of him.
Oh.
You must spot a Florida guy. Wasn't the guy from Florida that he was supposed to fight last time that backed out, the little tank, the 5'6" by 5'6" guy?
Yeah, Chris Barnett.
Yeah.
Chris Barnett. Oh, yeah, okay, I gotcha. Yeah, Chris, I've seen a lot of Chris Barnett. And, that guy, he fought a lot in the SFC or whatever, and he fought, he did the open tryouts. He was like one of the first ones. He might have been the first. And he came out and he got it, and everybody sort of made fun of him. But then he started knocking a lot of people out. And he actually beat he wanted the Ultimate Fighter. He beat an Ultimate Fighter alumni that was supposed to smash him, and you know, he has a lot of heavy hands and so forth. And he was kind of a highly touted guy, but he really does look the part.
Oh, hey, since we have you on and one of the sponsors of the Dirty Dozen this week, I'm curious, for people who want to enter knockouts and submissions, I meant to ask you this last week, and I've been wondering all week, what's the criteria? Does it have to be a fight recently? I mean, if somebody's got some fight video from maybe 6-8 months ago, is that fine as well?
I think if it's new footage, we welcome it. You know, we want to, meaning if it's something that's not been spread all over the internet, you know, and, you know, if it's really old, but it's really cool stuff that nobody has ever seen before, then I like to bring those to light. And sometimes you see some really cool stuff like that. So we'll use those for sure. So, we've had used spots that are, 6, 7, 8 years old that people did on like a camcorder, you know. But they're really cool knockouts, and, we'll use them and so forth. But, we definitely prefer, as good a footage as you possibly can get now. And, from, a solid promotion. But at the same time, we've taken events that are like, way down in the swamps, man, and we found some really cool stuff. So, no, it doesn't have to be brand new stuff. We can use, anything, but we want it to be kind of new to the viewers.
Okay. Now, I got to ask you, I sent you guys that clip of that KO, man, of that young lady, dude. Wow.
The chick, yeah, the girl fight.
That was a double tap on the feet, man. Wow.
That was really cool. I showed it to my wife, and she does the WMMA segment on our show, and she was just like, oh, damn, it was really smooth, and it was, the way you don't see a whole lot of women's knockouts that end like that where, they just straight out, that girl caught her on the butt and she sees backwards, and that's pretty intense stuff. It was killer. Was that up? What event was that? Is that something that you guys cover a lot?
Actually, the Chris Gregory from MMA Topics, which he's leaving Blackout Fighting Championships right now, otherwise he'd probably be on the show. He's the one who sent me that stuff, so I'm not sure how he was tied into all that. If it was a buddy of his, or if he, somebody he knows covered it, or it's an event he covers regularly. He covers a lot of weird stuff in the Midwest that I'm not, Sugar Creek Showdown being in Oklahoma. I think that's one of the events that he does cover. But, because he hits Oklahoma, but was it Oklahoma, Kansas, Missouri area?
Well, I know that Darla Harris is from, like, Colorado or something.
I guess.
And
yeah, this fight was in Hinton, Oklahoma, at Sugar Creek Casino.
So, yeah, probably one of his buddies hit it up and hooked him up with all the results and stuff. And that video just happened to come out from that event. So, once again,
beautiful KO.
Yeah, dude, very sweet. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I mean, that dude, that's on par with some of the best males. I mean, the double tap on the feet. I mean,
yeah,
gosh, that was
it reminds me of there are a couple of names that come to my head, but one name that was making a big stir on the Dirty Dozen was Veronica Roslinghouse, the last knockout, and she's just a slugger machine. But when you see someone like that, they can do that kind of stuff. I mean, it sort of transcends. It's like Jose Aldo, he knocks people out and does things to people that usually only welter and middleweights do, and so it's like the kind of damage that when a female can do that kind of damage, it really opens a lot of eyes. So that was really cool.
Dude, wasn't she... Veronica was the girl that... She went out to tap gloves, and the girl shook her off, and then she just walked across the cage and knocked her out, right?
Yeah, big time. Yeah, big, big, heavy haymakers. I guess she trains with Uriah Faber, right? She's with Alpha Male?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a tough day. I remember when that video came out. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and like we, you know, we did the rundown of our top women, you know, promotions and stuff. What do you guys think about Jessica Eye and Felice Herrig, and specifically Felice Herrig going to and signing with Invicta?
Felice Herrig's about to get shown that she is just a great marketing tool and a good fighter. That's it. She's not an elite fighter. I don't believe she will ever be an elite fighter. But she can sell the product better than 99.9% of all male and female fighters. But she's about to step up, I believe, to a level of competition where she's going to get smashed.
Do you consider someone that is a title contender, you know, potential title contender as an elite fighter?
Yeah, like when I say elite, we're talking top 4 or 5 in a weight class, you know, that range. She will never be a top 5. In my mind right now, seeing the way she fights, seeing the fights with Patricia, you know, knowing what's happened with Patricia before and after those fights and the caliber of fighters that she's had to fight, I think Felice is a great hype machine. She builds herself up bigger than she really is. You know, you might even call her the Chael Sonnen of the female world, you know, but she is a great
fighter. And honestly, I think she's good enough to go to the UFC simply because they pick out great marketing tools, the UFC does, you know. And I think that she would, you know, definitely be someone that would be placed in the UFC. I agree with you. She's not on par with a lot of the you know, very, very top, you know, upper echelon fighters. But she definitely can sell some tickets, like you said. And you know, a lot of times that's gonna carry you, you know, a long ways as long as you don't just get absolutely smashed.
Yeah, and I mean, look, I mean, don't get me wrong, a 9-4 record is not bad, okay? But, you know, and I'm a huge supporter of Lil P. Everybody knows I've been a fan of Lil P for some time. Lil P is not a top 15 fighter. I'm sorry. It sucks. She's just not right now, and I don't believe she ever will be. I love watching her fight because she's got heart and grit and determination, and she puts on a show, you know, but, you know, Heather Clark is a much, much more substantial opponent than Patricia was. And, yeah, I know. I think it was a split decision or a unanimous decision. It was a decision, you know, over Heather Clark. And that, to me, was more impressive, you know, than some of her other fights. And I thought we saw her at maybe almost her best. And if that was almost her best, she's not
going to
be able to hang, I believe.
I don't know, dude. I'm looking at her record right now, and she's got to win over Jessica Rakosi. She's on the Ultimate Fighter this season.
Yeah, that's a big win.
I'll tell you. You know, the way I look at her is the way you can look at, I mean, this is a stretch, but look at her to her body. You know, Arturo Gatti was running around at the time when Mayweather was hands down the best fighter in the world. There were a handful of fighters way better than him. But Arturo Gatti sold more tickets. And, you know, he sold more tickets than anybody, you know, period at that point. And it's just that people love to watch him fight so much. You know, Felice Herrig markets herself correctly. She's going to make a whole lot of money. And probably
Amen.
Look to be, you know, to continue in entertainment and so forth.
And,
you know, she's like
the
next Hector Camacho or whatnot, you know.
I 100% agree with you, Casey, and I have no problem with that. I like a fighter who sells, but I'm going to be honest. You put her in there against Rose, she loses. You put her in there against Beck, she loses. Kika, she loses. Calderwood, she loses. Cummings, she loses. Obviously, Carla would tear her apart, too. I mean, you're talking 5 fighters right there that she can't beat.
Now, I'll tell you what, I think Beck is probably in the top, you know, she's definitely in the top 5 most marketable fighters, period. Win, lose, or draw. Beck Hines.
Hands down.
Yeah. But, you know, but then again, she's got, you know, she's lost, she didn't lose her last, but she lost her last one, but, and then she lost the one before that. So, you know, she definitely, she brings the fight, you know. So she gets, what do you guys think about Jessica Eye?
I think Jessica Eye is a badass, man.
Yep.
I like her a lot. I still can, like, sit there and I can close my eyes and think about Jeskai, and the first thing I see is Zoila Gurgel's lifeless body dropping down to the mat.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, for sure.
Now,
see, I guess she'd be Bar Honchak way back.
Yeah.
As an amateur.
See, I wouldn't mind seeing Jessica I sign with the XFC, and then after Courtney Casey beats up Pearl Gonzalez in Albuquerque, then having Jessica and Courtney fight, maybe.
What do you think of Stephanie Egg?
I like it.
The Snowflake? She's fun to watch.
Yeah, but I think the competition Jessica needs is sitting right there for her to prove to everybody that she is the best in the world. I mean, there's a great class of women that she can compete against in Vitka, and we're talking 6-8 women that she can compete against and win against,
right,
to prove that she is pound for pound the best woman in women's MMA. I don't think she could prove that at the XFC. I love that organization. I just don't think they have a deep enough pool in her weight class.
Well, you know, they're very much a growing WMMA. I mean, they up until recently, they had only had a few, you know, WMMA fights, one, you know, every couple of events, and now they're trying to really push to continue that push. But, they don't have a they don't have a strong division, but they're very, very quickly developing it. And that's something that they put their push into, you know, because they used to have super heavyweights. They had Scott Barrett and like big, massive, massive super heavies. They've done away with that completely. So now you're going to see the growth of that. But, I mean, obviously, Invicta, aside from the UFC, is top dog and always will be, simply because they cater directly towards WMMA. They're always the mecca.
Well, and don't get me wrong, I think Jessica goes over there, and there's one or two ladies that she can really test herself against, but I think in Vitka, she's not top dog yet, where she'd be considered top dog where she's going, and within a fight or two, if she continues on the destruction that she's been on, she's cleaned out the division of serious opponents and has nothing left. Then it's, well, what if she would fight this girl from Invicta or this girl, and you'd hear that for another 2 years? You know, I think she'd be smart to go straight to Invicta. There's at least six good fights for her in her own weight class over the next 3 years, including possibly a title fight or two with defense.
I actually think she's wanting to go to 135, and I wouldn't be surprised if she did go UFC route. She's not a big girl, but she's like a tall girl, if I remember right. I don't know, she's only 5'5".
Yeah, she's lanky. But she's lanky.
But Skippy, I don't agree with you. I think that she can come in and challenge Barb Honchak, the winner of Barb Honchak and Leslie Smith, right away. I think she's at that level. I mean, she's the former Bellator champ.
Okay, I would say she has to have at least a fight or two in Invicta before you give her a title shot.
Well, I mean, you know, Cyborg, you know, had a fight before she fought for the title. So
that's true.
You know, you would think if you brought Cyborg into the show, you know, the fight would be, hey, we're bringing Cyborg in. Throw the belt up, who we got for her, and, you know, obviously Marlis was at the top of the list. You know, I like the idea of come to Invicta, you know, establish yourself and then buy for the title.
Hey, Joel, so you know, because I know you're listening right now, I just saw your post, asshole. I'm not talking shit about Felice Herring. I'm just talking that what I see is the truth. She's a marketing machine. Don't go out there fucking posting on her page, I'm talking shit, you little fire starter.
Wow, man. Wow. Skippy just straight called somebody out. I thought, is he at toe tag level yet? Is he at toe tag level yet?
Ha, he's all fucking giving me shit even more now. Hey, dude, no, he's not a toe tag situation yet.
Casey, what do you think about RFA tonight?
The RFA?
Yeah, did you watch it tonight?
No, I didn't. You know, actually, I'm getting ready. Like, tomorrow, one of my fighters is fighting at 3FC here in, it's actually in Pigeon Forge. And if you know where Dollywood, you've heard of Dollywood, Dolly Parton's theme park, it's kind of like the South version of Disneyland. But anyway, it's a resort area, and one of my guys, Tyler, he's going back, I guess, there. He's been in Kansas City training, and he actually trained up with Chael Sonnen up there for his camp right before John Jones, and that. So he's been out for a year, and he's getting ready to come out and actually get his fight, you know, for the first time in a year. He had shoulder surgery, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, we're actually getting ready for that. So I've not had a chance to do any of it.
Nice. Well, how do you think the fight will go for him?
I think it'll be good. He's fighting a guy, Damian Melton, and guy that had like a really solid amateur career, and came out and had a couple of solid fights as a pro, and then it's been, you know, win one, lose one. So, you know, he's a solid journeyman fighter, but it's a good fight for Tyler back. He lost his last fight and then was, you know, was injured afterwards, and so it's been kind of an uphill battle. He went to the Ultimate Fighter tryouts, he got on to the Ultimate Fighter, and then he had an issue with his weight cutting, and his medicals didn't clear right before he was supposed to have his first fight on him. So he got put out on that. I mean, it's been really rocky for him. So I think he goes in. He's a grinder, man. He's had his head split open a few times and still, you know, grind his way through. So I think it's, you know, I'm confident.
Nice. That's something that we can look forward to then. And what's the guy's name again? I'm sorry.
Tyler Minton. Tyler Melee Minton.
He's a friend of mine on Facebook.
Oh, okay. You know, here comes Skippy with the one-up and shit again, Jeff.
Well, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. He's a friend of mine on Facebook, guys.
I'm just saying, yeah. He's been telling me for like over a year about his career, and so I've been keeping an eye on it.
Over a year.
It just happened.
Over a year. Is that in, like, internet time? Is this, like, a year in internet time or a year in, like, real-world time? Because there's a drastic difference.
It's a year in real-world time, bro.
Hmm.
It just happens to be one of the
Tyler, he's an all-American boy, man. A tough kid, high school wrestling, came up, started jiu-jitsu, started kickboxing, but more than anything, I mean, he's just like, you know, a bulldozer kind of fighter. He grinds it out, and he fights hard, and, you know, when he gets cut up and beat up, you know, he's all Ric Flair out there, you know, still fighting with blood all over his face, and, you know, he's always really exciting, so a lot of people around here especially are excited to see him back in action.
Oh, yeah, and did he make weight everything fine today then?
Say that one more time, man. I'm sorry.
Did he make weight all with no problems? Because I know that he doesn't have the same setup that he had for his last camp when it came to
He didn't nearly have to cut nearly as much, man. I'll tell you, his improvement over the last year has been tremendous. You know, just his thought process, the way he diets. Like, he's big time on his diet, and he actually, you know, he was dropping like 35 pounds, and now he's making a slow cut, and he's doing what he needs to do, and he feels really, really good right now, you know, healthy, and he feels really strong, you know, and for the game that he plays, that's really important because, you know, like the tendon strength and so forth. So he's lost a lot of weight. He's still there, and he's learned how to do that right in his camp. I guess he was up with Zach Cummings and that crew at Grindhouse for this last camp he was doing. So,
oh, he might know Chris then. Because Chris rolls with those guys a lot at Grindhouse.
Yeah, that's right, Labaki. Me and Chris don't have any same friends. You're like, it must be Chris's friend.
But he loves it out there. He had a blast. And I've actually got another guy who's moving like, you know, 35 minutes away from there, and I think he's going to go up there and start training. He's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu from down here that was with me for like 2 years, and I think he's headed that way also. So.
Okay, now, we're talking all the time to the MMA all around. I got to ask you, I know that, you know, just tonight we were able to post up the kind of the preview for the AFC 6 card.
Yeah.
How's that looking? Are we going to see you there or what?
Man, I don't know. You know, Cyrus has really been on that and setting it up. It was a really big disappointment for us that we weren't going to be able to make it in there. You know, there were you know, different, you know, obstacles that we were sort of having to overcome and as far as getting over there this time. And but I'll tell you what, I'll say this. The card for Australian MMA, you know, we were there for the last two. And, of course, the first one we were there was Sol Flaley and McCorkle. And, you know, they had some pretty cool, you know, good star power there on that card. And then the last one, you know, was kind of a shocker. It actually filled up more, and you didn't have nearly the stars. For me, you know, you've got the tournaments. I don't know if you are familiar with the guys that are in the tournaments, but they're so contrasting. You know, you've got Corey Nelson and Walter DeBarros, you know, jiu-jitsu guy versus the well-rounded, you know, major Corey Nelson. And and then you've got Dean Purdon, who comes in with wearing the mask and the Speedos.
The
and
Punisher.
He's fighting his kid, Jake Mitchell. Huh?
The Punisher.
Yes, yes. And I'll tell you, man, both times I watched him fight, you know, especially this last time, against Peter Davenport. You know, Davenport was walking around. He's like, man, I'm going to smash this guy. He was angry all night long. And he goes out there, and Purdon gets him quick, man, like less than a minute, just, you know, locks him down and jiu-jitsu him. I think Jake Matthews, though, is going to give him a solid five. But really the middleweights are the big, you know, contrast. You guys know Big Grusik, the Spartan? He's got Stephen Kennedy, and of course Kennedy, that he's, you know, one of the most experienced fighters down there. Excellent wrestling, just like blazed through a brown belt division there, and they're one of their big BJJ championships. So, you know, wrestler but legit BJJ, and you know, Kimura is the last guy in there, and then Big Vic Grusik. I mean, he looks like General Zod from Superman. You know, this guy is like a monster. You know, he keeps coming, but he. You know, no matter what you do to him, you know, he takes hard shots. And then on the other side, I don't know if you've talked to Cyrus about Bor Vratov from the WFC. I don't know if you guys know him, but this guy hits extremely hard. He got a big knockout in his last fight, you know, like 10-second knockout, and he's fighting Daniel Kelly, the Olympic judo practitioner. So. And that guy, he has an iron jaw. So that one was the one that I wanted to see the most. I'm all amped up about that. And I think it's, you know, for Australian fans and those that really follow Australian MMA, to me, it's like the purest of the best Australian fighters. You know, with a couple of Brazilian fighters, you know. You got Marquez
and
Bob Lucida also.
And then there's the Serb that was in the tournament. I can't think of his damn name. Maybe it was a Czech. I don't know. There's a guy from Eastern Europe that was also in that. I think the middleweight tournament.
No, you're talking about Bor. Yeah, Bor Vratov. He's out of Slovenia, and he fought for the WFC. He was with Blago and that guy. This group. Yeah, dude. I mean, he knocked out Rick Alchin in the last fight, and like smashed him. And like Alchin, you know, he looks like a professional bodybuilder. Looks like a Chris Benoit, you know what I mean, all jacked up, and Bor just, like, smashed him. Like, mega, mega power, like the Russian off of Rocky, you know. And so I don't know. I mean, Daniel Kelly, you know, he's had some straight-up wars in both of the fights I've seen him in. And, you know, he's the judo guy, but he stands and slugs. I don't know if he can take the punishment that Bor delivers if he drops his hands like he does, you know, in other fights, but... I mean, it's going to definitely be, that's the one I want to see most, because one likes to throw heavy leather and one's willing to take it and dish it back out.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Now, I'll tell you what, you know, fans out there who don't know, the AFC fights in a ring still, and I'm a big fan of that. But can you maybe tell me a little bit more about what that whole deal was down at the Congress with the law? Because, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to get into it. I was hoping you maybe knew a little bit more.
It's just Victoria. And, you know, the rest of Australia is cleared with a cage, but Victoria has been battling it. And I don't know if it's the boxing community there or if it's, it's just, you know, people that are protesting MMA, and they really couldn't outlaw MMA, but they could outlaw the use of a cage. But for whatever reason, they say that the cage is too brutal. And so we kind of, you know, we kind of campaigned on our show a little bit about it, and they actually protested, and they're saying it's too dangerous. You know, I was talking about Daniel Kelly earlier. I mean, he, like one of the biggest highlight reels of their company is when, you know, he tumbled over the top rope at AFC 4, you know, because they were fighting, and they straight up turned a somersault outside of the cage, you know, and people have fallen out and cut themselves and, you know, and have done, like, major damage to themselves because, you know, a ring is not conditioned for mixed martial arts. You know, so you can see the footwork of boxing, and that's it, you know. But a cage is, you know, it contains the action the way it needs to be contained, and, you know, I think that's pretty much the general consensus around here. It's exciting to watch fights in a ring sometimes because it kind of changes the game a little bit. You don't see the pressure up against the cage and that kind of game as much when you're in the ring. But, you know, it's definitely, you know, I want to see that change made in Australia. And I think AFC really, they're hungry to see it because, you know, they're the top event there in Australia, and they're not able to actually, you know, showcase their show inside the cage.
And then would you go with Nitro or Balor next, Casey?
Brace.
You know, and then there's Brace, of course. I'll tell you, the only other event that I've worked with, I think a lot of those companies, they exchange the same talent in a lot of ways. Like, you know, the higher level names, you're going to see him popping from back, you know, from event to event a little bit, you know, Corey Nelson especially. And then you've got the events that are actually in New Zealand, you know. So it's like, to me, though, the biggest thing that I saw, and, I mean, there's a big controversy right now, and I've heard that it's actually, you know, everything is back on track, was Combat 8. And I think that, you know, Combat 8 definitely had the biggest names, even though it wasn't true mixed martial arts. I mean, it was, you know, it showcased a lot of really famous guys. You know, Lucido was on there, and then Peter Graham, of course, was on there, and you know, a lot of Australian names there. And it was showcased in a way that you got to see, you know, the guys, you know, slug a little bit. You know, it's basically, you know, throwing punches with takedowns.
Yeah, it was more like a Sambo match. I thought DJ Linderman was supposed to fight at the upcoming one of those.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was supposed to fight the heavyweight fight that one of my friends stepped in on.
Yeah. Where's everybody else at, man? Just, you know, like, we start talking about Australia, and then all of a sudden everybody's quiet.
No, dude, I'm here. I had my mic muted for a second because I just wanted to be
What do
rude.
You guys think? What do you think?
See,
the thing
I think
would be number
about
two to AFC.
The thing I think about the cage in Australia is, and the people I've talked to, is that a lot of them just say it's the perception that the cage provides.
Yeah.
Like the perception that it, like, makes people think about dogfighting and shit like that. And that's why they're, like, so anti the cage around there.
Yeah, exactly. But it's that's senseless. That's ridiculous. I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous when you look and you say, okay, well, look at, like, insurance costs, okay? If I'm an insurance company and I'm going to insure this event, and I know that if I really have done my homework and I know that these two men can come, you know, hurling through the ropes and out into the floor, you know, and, you know, cut their leg and get staph infection in their leg and all this crazy stuff that does happen, you know, like pro wrestling, for years all that stuff happened, you know, and people have died from, you know, from horrible infections and stuff. But if I was going to insure it, I'm going to say, yeah, put it in a cage, it contains it, you've got to look at it logically. This is not an age where you have to look at it and go, well, perception is, hey, the perception is these two guys are punching each other in the face, period. I mean, that's what's happening. This is, you know, essentially pit fighting, you know, done in a more refined manner. So, you know, I mean, it's fighting is fighting. I don't know how much, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand what you're saying with that,
yeah.
but my answer is, hey, man, you know, this is fighting. I mean, you're this is not going to be, you know, a rated G sport any way you look at it. It's violent.
Oh, no, I agree. I think it's silly. I mean, it's one of the things that frustrates me for down there.
Well, like I said, it's just the Korean, you know.
Dude, since we're talking about kind of overseas MMA, do you guys feel, and I saw this today, and I kind of curious what your guys' opinion on this is, do you feel that Russia is becoming the new Brazil?
Oh, come on, man. Why do you have to be talking about all this mainstream shit?
Yeah, in what way?
Dare just signed five amazing Russian fighters to fight in the tournament. You're seeing more of the Russian fighters make a presence overseas and in other organizations to where, you know, 5 years ago, the influx was a lot of Brazilians, but now you're starting to see a lot of, you know, Eastern European and Russian fighters make a name for themselves outside their region.
Yeah.
So my thing is, you guys feel that Russia is the new Brazil, is the new area for fighters to emerge from?
Well, I mean, I think that the Middle East is, I mean, the Far East has been, like, always been a hub as far as, like, with, you know, I mean, Fedor and Krokop and all those more legendary, Igor Rovchanchyan. I mean, those guys have always been around and they've always had a presence. I think that you're seeing the pull maybe of more elite fighters because they're evolving faster. I think that the Brazilians kind of had a flair about them, you know, especially with American Top Team here in America. When American Top Team came here, they just straight up, like, sent a, you know, I mean, they basically sent Brazil into the UFC and kept Brazil into the UFC. You know, a ton of Brazilian fighters through American Top Team, I think. And I think that's a lot of the reason that you have this strong presence. And then off of that, you know, of course, UFC, when they took over Pride and they absorbed a lot of that other Brazilian talent that was formerly in Pride, or at least related to those guys. But, I mean, I love the Russian talent.
I mean, you know, I think definitely, and Labaki could probably somewhat agree with this, that the combat sambo is a great base for a fighter. And with them really, you know, perfecting that as a culture, I mean, I put it on par with most of the guys coming in with wrestling and jiu-jitsu backgrounds, you know, when they come into MMA. I feel they're even more ready than a wrestler, you know, or a jiu-jitsu guy, because they work punches from those positions.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I think it's great. I think it's great to see that door open. And it sucks that it's, you know, 10 years past the time when Fedor was, you know, the king. But, you know, it's nice to now see that progression. And, you know, guys like Ronan coming down to fight and dare, it's going to really open some people's eyes. Raul, obviously, he should have been in Bellator. We all know that story. You know, me and Labaki were actually talking about it yesterday or today. But, you know, you're starting to see these guys, these upper echelon guys, who are stepping outside of Russia to fight, whether it's America or Asia or Australia or even Africa. You know, I think we're going to see even more of an influx as American fighters are now going over there to test themselves and bring, you know, Western-style-based wrestling fighters and Brazilian-based jiu-jitsu fighters into Russia now to fight these guys.
I mean, I know that in a lot of the companies that we've dealt with, we always see a lot of, not always necessarily Russian, but, you know, those Eastern block fighters, we see them, and we see it, always see the Brazilians, like the AFC, you know, we were talking about earlier, they've got two Brazilians on this show, and then they've got Boer, But the Brazilian fighters, there's a particular flair about them. So, I mean, like a lot of these international events that we've seen, you know, they'll contact us and I'll say, well, what do you know, we're looking for, you know, a couple fights for this and this, and we'll give them some options and say, well, do you have any Brazilian fighters? You know, it's almost a brand. You know what I mean? Like they want a couple of those guys on the card. And I think the Russian guys, I mean, there's always been that mystique about Russian fighters. I think in the past some have been known to be kind of, they consider them kind of a dry personality, you know, because, you know, they didn't speak English. You know, it's kind of a kind of like the Russian on pro wrestling. But I think after Fedor, I think people, you know, really, truly really ingrained. And like I said, Igor Vovchanchin, man. To me, Igor Vovchanchin, you know, was the first Russian powerhouse in mixed martial arts. You know?
Yeah, dude, well, for sure. And Karatanov. I don't like people overlooking Karatanov.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, folks, I'm going to pay a quick commercial bill, and everybody smoke them if you got them. We'll be back in about 3 or 4 minutes. How's that, folks? We'll be right back.
Well, sure. That was kind of like that in the middle of our conversation.
Hey, Apple, you're the one who asked me to do this, so let's do it now. I got to piss anyway.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
And Christmas for
right, folks, second hour, still talking MMA. You guys, like always, 310-742-1799 call-in number. Big shout-out to all our sponsors. Once again, we have the Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon, live MMA there every day, cold beers, good food, hot waitresses. Wait till you guys see. Mandy came over the other day, got naked, took photos with the Pro-Am belt. Oh, it's going to be sick. Wait till we put those up, folks. Big shout-out to Pro-Am Belt for always sponsoring MMA Madhouse. But Vicious Smoke Shop, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Greg at Ink Tank Tattoos, Jax Media, Go Fight Live TV, Aggressive MMA. Okay, it's the second hour. We're back with the normal crew of misfits. Did anybody ever, has anybody got the results for the Shinzo Fight Sports event? I'm curious.
Nope.
You know, I'm really bummed because they pushed this event for weeks down there in Guatemala, and it was going to be on TV and everything, and nope. Tonight, for some reason, it wasn't televised, it wasn't streamed. They had a really good card with some good people on it. I do see Spirit Wolf defeated James Chaney via KO, but I don't know what round, folks.
Wow, I picked Chaney to win that fight.
Yep, Chaney got
Spirit Wolf's
either KO'd or
hard to pick. His fights are hard to pick. Like, his fights with Zaramskis were crazy.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if there's any other way to describe him.
No, I think that's a good way. I was curious to see how Tyler did, you know. Pac Northwest fighter down there rocking it.
Oh, you're not his friend on Facebook?
No, I'm actually not. Asshole. Well, a lot of sports assault the wound. Obviously, Casey, we talked about a card that you're excited about this weekend. Is there anything else, any other cards anybody's excited for this weekend? Because, I mean, there's a lot of MMA going on around the country besides Zuffa Pupala.
Man, I'll tell you, like I said, I've had myself focused on AFC, all that stuff that's been going on. We've got a few other projects we're working on, so, you know, we've stayed pretty stacked on that. But like I said, tomorrow, you know, Cyrus is doing the ring announcing at 3FC tomorrow, and we're all going to be there and stuff. So it's always a good time and stuff, and to see my guy back in action. Like, that's the only guy I've got on the show, and he's a co-main event, so, you know, I'm anxious to get in there and see him get a win. So I'm kind of, you know, I don't want him to listen to this and hear me, but, I'm real anxious to see him back in there and get this one past him, because he has so much potential. But it's, when you kind of get a lot of things, bouldering down on top of you, it's kind of hard to get going. So, I'm here now because I want to, I kind of was able to brag a little bit on my knowledge of Australian MMA and all this. I want to hear what's going on. One of the reasons I'm so excited about this is, especially with you guys push into the Eastern Europe and Japan and so forth like that.
Well, bro, Saturday night, I guess it'd be Sunday morning my time, your time, DST SWAT 51's going down. It'll be 3 a.m. Eastern, I believe, on Sunday morning. Lebaki, if I'm wrong, I think if you know the right time, in case I'm wrong, but I believe that's what time it's going to be.
What?
That would be a free stream. Usually they stream on, I think it's live.
VST?
Yeah, VST. You're
talking about VST?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hold on. I have a question for Casey as a coach.
Yep.
Is it a different mindset that you go into an event when you have one guy as compared to when you have multiple guys?
How does the – did you say the ego?
No, it's like your mindset. Like, I mean, you really don't have that one opportunity to show everybody what's going on. And so, I mean, is it like a different thing when you're going in with just one guy? Or
I think it all depends. Because, we travel a lot too. And when we travel – if one of our guys gets a fight, you know, in you know, overseas, or you know, or has, you know, has to catch a flight, and we have to fly somewhere. You know, obviously, aren't going to take the whole crew, and usually it would be just one fighter. So, you know, if it's off somewhere, really there aren't any bragging rights anyway. We're there to have the fight, there to win the fight always. As a coach myself, you know, I've kind of gone through it. You know, I've lived it as a coach, as a fighter myself, as a, you know, an instructor, and then as a promoter, and then what we do now, you know, is kind of as a news source. You know, I look at it more now. I coach because I enjoy to coach, and there was a time when I was really strong into my push for, you know, how many wins I get tonight. I definitely always go to win, but you know, every fighter that I put in, when I put them in there, it's an individual project. You know, we collectively work as a team, and you know, we come there and we support each other as a team. But each one of those fighters is a collective feeling. You know, I've had a few guys fight on, you know, on bigger shows, but you know, I also had a fighter who was, you know, he came into my gym as a police officer at 300 pounds, and he'd almost been killed in an altercation because he was so out of shape. He comes in and he gets down to 185 pounds at 40, you know, 2 years old, has his first MMA fight, wins it, fights the second time, loses, then comes back two more times and wins fights. You know, for me, I got to see that whole cycle of that fighter, you know, the way his life went through in mixed martial arts, and he never had a chance of, he didn't even turn pro, he's an amateur fighter. But I got to experience that, and to me, those were personal gains. So, when, you know, to answer your question, when I go in, you know, if I've got three guys, the only thing that I have going for us is back in the dressing room, we have more of a support crew, you know, having all of our guys there together to push each other and motivate. But as far as, you know, if I've got one guy or if I've got 10 guys, you know, every time I go out there, you know, I'm looking to win that fight. And, you know, if we lose half of them, but we come away better and stronger and they're all good fights, then I'm going to be satisfied.
Nice. Now, Skippy, what were you wanting to talk about?
Oh, I was actually just talking about ZSC. You know, so Casey, Saturday morning or Sunday morning, you know, watched some good Asian MMA. Uh-huh. Their screens are usually free. ZSC is a good card. I know Sunday afternoon, Gladiator 3 down there in Brazil is on. That's going to be another card. Next weekend, though, bro, I'm telling you what, next weekend, it is sick weekend of fights, man, around the world, dude. I was checking out next weekend, the thing with what we're talking about, because this weekend is a little slower than some, but, I mean, you got coming up next weekend, you got some great cards, man. Definitely. Well, I'm looking forward.
I've seen all over your page about the World's Most Dangerous Game Show and all of the pictures and all that you've got up there from Dare. And, you know, I've seen that you've got a big push going on. What's the entire rundown on everything? Have you guys already talked about that at all?
About Dare? No.
About Dare and everything that's going on?
Not really. Just Skippy. We watched last night's episode of the show with Ben and John. But we haven't talked about it. Skippy. No, but we think those guys are a fucking riot, man. I mean, I don't know if anybody's watched. I mean, they have an event, I think, October 12th is the date of the event. And I think that's not where Chonin's fighting Hornbuckle. That's a deep. But they have, like, that Razul guy that's from Russia fighting there on that card. And he's supposed to be a beast. But he hasn't fought in 2 years.
When I first saw that stuff, and I saw the way they brought him out, and, you know, they had, like, the characters and so forth, and the way all that stuff is, I mean, it really reminded me of, like, a really edgy version of what WWE was in like the 80s, like the early 80s. I mean, it was just very like vivid, and it was different than anything I've ever seen before. And I, you know, Cyrus will tell you, he's like, you know, I was carrying on and on about it because he kind of, you know, he was the first one to kind of drum it up around here. And I just think that stuff is awesome.
Dude, you're talking about the game show? Yeah, man, that shit was crazy.
Yeah.
The Million Dollar Game Show? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about episode of the show that those
guys
do. But no,
yeah,
yeah,
no, I was just, you know, I was just talking about that. But yeah, the game show is the stuff that, you know, that I remember seeing and stuff like that. And that kind of went down in the whole log of the stuff that we kind of go for, you know, because we had the Shockwave stick fighting on there, which is like the kind of like the Dog Brothers. We showcased that, and you know, and of course Hip Show, and it's you know, that kind of stuff really is so contrasting. I sometimes wonder when you watch MMA in America, you know, it's like, you know, you talk about there's the UFC, there's Bellator, there's you know, XFC, MFC. There are solid, you know, events, but in the end, they're all the same thing, exactly. You know, I mean, they're all mixed martial arts. What makes the difference is the fights, but then these other styles, and he's coming in, Combat 8, same thing. It's a little bit different, and the only way you can see it and see something like that is by watching that product specifically.
Oh, yeah, and see, I'm a fan of the Combat 8, like, little thing. I like the 30 seconds on the ground. I like the square cage. I mean, to me, I think that's kind of cool. I mean, you know, you don't need to be on the ground for more than 30 seconds a lot of the time if you, you know, because more times than not, guys aren't really going anywhere.
Yeah. And it really gives people the opportunity to wear, you know, it's basically the equivalent of an amateur in an egg glove in a setting where you really can't do a whole lot of clinching. If you clinch too much, they stand you up.
Hey, everybody,
yeah.
Cyrus joined us, so you guys know we got Cyrus live with us now, and so everybody out there knows, I just sent it to you, God, what is, oh my God, I forgot his name already, we were just talking about Shinsuke.
Oh,
Cyrus,
KO'd
or
did he
get
KO?
Yeah, he got a KO, and yes, Cyrus is live with us.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Casey, don't be trying to hog all the time.
Hey, let me tell you something. Don't be sticking your nose in the middle of this conversation, brother. We've already covered the bases on this, okay? So don't worry about it.
Yeah, I hear you spitting all your garbage over here, bro. I know how you do it. You're just trying to hog up all the spotlight on the Rogue Show. I know how you roll, brother.
Yeah, you were over there. You were probably piled up in the bed, brother. You were in there. You had Kennedy in there, snuggled up with her. You heard me, you know, spitting all this talk about the AFC. You had to get on here and put your two cents in.
Well, that's exactly what it is. I was watching a bootleg copy of The Great Gatsby, and I said, you know what, I'm going to call into the Rogue Show, and I'm going to see what the hell these guys are talking about. And we're talking Hip Show and Combat 8. That's the type of shit I like to talk about.
Oh, wow. Carl Postman got knocked out.
Yep.
Wow. Who got knocked out?
Carl Postman tonight down in Guatemala for Alex Huddleston.
Yep. See, that's what I'm saying. I call in here and I'm finding out about Guatemala results.
That's how we roll, man.
Well,
hey, look.
So, hey, hold on. We were just talking about the game show. They're the game show, Skippy. And then I hear Cyrus is down with the game show, too.
Oh, dude. This is the most dangerous game show in the world? Dude,
yeah, that
one. I thought all six episodes of The Underground was phenomenally done. Anybody who knows me knows before they started the whole Dare Million Dollar Tournament and The Underground with the most dangerous game show in the world, I was a huge fan of this organization. But when they brought that platform to the forefront for fans, nobody is producing MMA with that kind of twist, that kind of cinematography, that kind of feel, and I believe, hands down, that is the best MMA product on the market today. And for me personally, it is. It's better than any of that Zuka shit. And it's better than Bellator. Hands down, these guys bring you MMA the way you want to see it. And with Jonathan Nutt now getting the Hebrew Hammer this year, Ben Stark, as his co-commentator for the event. Anybody who watches live in Bangkok sees how well they interact together. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a great second run for the season. But hands down, I thought that the way they walked the fighters in, I thought how they put them shoulder to shoulder, back to back, and have them take the 10 paces in turn is phenomenal. I like the opening little, like, five-minute monologue for each episode. Best MMA product on the market today.
I'm with you, Skippy. I love those dudes, man. They're awesome. But I'll tell you what, John Nutt and Ben Stark, they're just second-rate Cyrus Fees and Casey Oxen. I don't ever get it twisted, brother. No, I'm kidding. No, listen, I'm kidding. I love those guys, really. John Nutt is freaking hilarious. I don't know Ben too well, but I know Jesse. I know the whole crew over there, and John Nutt is one entertaining son of a bitch, no doubt about it.
Oh, and hey, while we're talking about Ben Stark, I'm such an asshole. I'd like to apologize to my koala bear. Big shout out to Tracy Lockwood.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Fight on 6 hours, flew 3 hours across the country of Thailand, fought the champ at 145, and took home the title in an ass whooping. Big shout out to my koala bear.
Can you even fly 3 hours in Thailand and still be in Thailand?
Like,
what are you flying in a fucking circle? You fly in a fucking circle or something?
I think 3 hours total time was to fly to the airport, to the arena. But either way, yes. Dare, I'm so excited. We got 58 days left till they're back. I mean, and that's the thing is, what I like about what Dare is doing is they don't want the fucking Joe Riggs of the world. They don't want that shit. They don't want a bunch of has-been psycho-out guys throwing dirty underwear in the face. They want fucking fighters who will come and fight. And like they said in their press conference last month, if you think you're bigger than Dare, go ahead. I got 40 fighters who'll take your spot and your paycheck.
No doubt, man. They're laying it down, brother. They're drawing the line in the sand. I love that shit. I agree with you on all the cinematography, every bit of that. I'm all about production. That's the type of shit that I'm into. If it has really nice production and it looks good and it has a cool feel, then that's my type of shit. And me and Casey love Dare. And we've been talking about the Most Dangerous Game show ever since they debuted that stuff. And we've definitely featured it on MMA Inside the Cage. So we're definitely with you on that one. Lock, stock.
No. Yeah, for some reason, when I see Dare the Game Show, I immediately think of, like, Terry Funk, Cactus Jack in some kind of weird fucking barbed wire match. Like,
I love,
that's, like,
Terry
the kind
Funk,
of pictures
Cactus
I get.
Jack. I love that.
Hell yeah.
No,
but, I mean, that's kind of the picture I get, you know, when I was watching that. That's always what I would be thinking about. I'd be like, wow, man, this is, like, Terry Funk shit.
No, let me ask you guys, you know, like, Cyrus, you know, with them doing, you know, what they've done and you know, with this Dare and the whole game show and taking time off to reposition financials, sign the new television deal and all that, do you feel that these guys, for a product, can be competitive in the U.S. market for viewership?
Yeah, I mean, they just have to find the right network, Scoopy. That's just the thing, bro. You know, I mean, they're going to have to find something where they can get that cult status, you know what I mean? And and start there. And
I don't think it's an MMA product as much as it is a culture product.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a legit show. Can it battle with UFC dollar for dollar? Hell no. I mean, we're not stupid. You know what I mean? But can it be entertaining? Can it be an awesome show? Can they have a long shelf life? Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason why they can't. Like you said, it's a work of art. Every episode's a work of art. You know, you got to respect that.
Now, I think, yeah, I mean, could it beat Lizard Lick Cohen, brother? That's what I want to know. If it can beat Lizard Lick, I think it's got a place on television. I think it can.
I think not only do I think it can beat Lizard Lick, but at their last press conference, I don't know if you guys watched the press conference or not last month, but they announced a new division in Dare, which will be bare knuckle 10-minute rounds. What do you guys think of that?
Fucking nuts.
Well, they just had that bare knuckle event up there in New England, right? It actually went down.
What was that, the BKB?
Yeah, well, they had, they wear gloves, but the only place in the glove that's not
exposed, or the only place that is exposed, is the knuckles. It's a glove with bare knuckles. And they actually fought like that, and we did a little preview on it on one of our shows leading up.
Yeah, I think I watched your guys' preview on that, because that's where I think I first saw it at.
Yeah, the thing with that deal is they didn't really advertise it until about 2 weeks out. I think that was the biggest problem with that bare knuckle shit. They didn't really advertise it until about 2 weeks out, and then it kind of hit, and then it kind of went away. And I don't think anybody's really talking about it. You know what I mean? I think it kind of went away, and who gives a shit now?
I think it's one of those things where you can, if you're going to plan something like that, it's not technically illegal to do it, but if... You know, if the townspeople or the region finds out that you're doing it and somebody has an issue with it, they can petition against it and get it shut down. And I think that's what they were doing. They're kind of keeping it below the radar and going to try to keep it exclusive and that sort of thing. And it probably financially, you know, you can't do that. I mean, exclusivity is, you know, it's hard to get those kind of people to come out with money.
Who would win a bare knuckle fight? Or Bobby? Somebody mentioned Lizard Lake Cohen. I think it was Casey.
I'm wondering who would land between you?
Ronnie and Bobby.
I thought you were... I would say that the better fight would be between Bobby and the dude's wife.
I think you're right.
I mean, Ronnie doesn't want any part of Bobby whatsoever, man. You see Bobby in there talking all kinds of smack to him in front of his wife, and he just sits there looking at him, and his wife backs him up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Ronnie's a pussy, brother. You know how he does it. He starts a bunch of shit and gets in the car and runs away. That's my type of fighter right there, brother.
That's another friend zone, brother. That's all he is.
He's like, over there, fuck this guy. We're taking your car. Bobby, we got a problem.
Bobby's fighting off fucking four dudes, bro.
Yeah, you've been licked, son. You've been licked. Bobby's like,
hey, guys.
A pile of blood.
Hey, guys. I want to welcome one more guest to the show, guys. And for Casey and Cyrus.
Please tell me it's the black chick from South Beach, Tony.
No, but actually, this is somebody you're going to love to talk to because you're very upset about his next match. I think Cyrus and Casey will find this very interesting. We have Anthony Hamlet with us. The Gi versus No Gi got canceled, huh? The Gi versus Gi fight.
Yeah,
back
all good. It is what it is, bro.
Here's the story. Yeah. So the guy that just joined us was challenged to a grappling match, and...
Now, I've been retired for 7 years now. Remember that. You forgot that part.
And then the guy that challenged him backed out.
Yeah. All good.
Now, is this Anthony Hamlet, the former hook and shoot champ I'm talking to? Is this the same one?
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
cool, man. There we have it.
Yeah, look at this. We took him out, dude. We got the old school badasses on this show.
I actually was there the night when you actually lost the title to Hermes Franck. Wow.
Yeah. Me and Chill went out there that night. I beat Kern for it, and then Hermes took it the next fight. So.
So what we're all sitting here talking, you know, obviously this Gi for No Gi is not happening right now because he took a fight, but if the opportunity arises again, you're
going to
take it, right?
I'll do it in his school with his students watching, with his students repping. I don't care.
Damn! Hey, would you do like Dave Crescane did? Would you tap him out twice just for good measure? Like
absolutely. I've already said that. If he gets caught in my move, when I ain't going to say it just because I don't want to, you know, he's a master, he might be learning, but if he gets caught, and usually 90... every person I roll with, right off the bat, I'll catch them with it once, and then they'll like, all right, I'm not going to do that again. But if he gets caught in it, I'm restarting him again. I'm going again. I'm not letting him off that easy.
See, now, you know, I figured, you know, Casey, would you ever do a Gi for Gi match? Would you ever be willing to
what now?
Would you ever be willing to put up this Gi?
The guy who challenged me, man, he's a brown belt under, I'm not sure exactly who, I don't know, but I just started training Gi last year, and I got a little blue belt. So I said, well, you know, I've done in the game by beating you, but why don't we, if you lose, I'll get to keep your Gi and your belt as a trophy. I'll staple that thing to the wall at my gym. And he could have my little blue belt with my brand new Gi, and he's like, he got offended by that.
But what I don't think people understand is that while you're only a blue belt in the Gi, you did take fourth place at ADCC.
I did place at Abu Dhabi, but with the Gi, I am, they're trying to give me other belts. Other, you know, I've walked in, I'm under the Gracie Baja, and they try to get, I try to put on a white belt, and they wouldn't let me. They made me start at least as a blue, so
well,
I want to.
Give me a fucking break. Give me a fucking break.
Hey, I want
to
win
the fundamentals class. He's like, I want. Can we go to the fundamentals class for a couple weeks?
You know why, though? I do it for a reason. I guarantee you, anybody who walks in my gym, I will roll with you. I don't care who you are, without a Gi. I don't care. I'm not one of those people who go, we got to roll with none of my students here. I will go at it. The reason why is because I'm at that level. Well, I want to be that way with the Gi, too. I want to make sure that I'm not wearing a brown belt and guys are tapping me out that are purples. And you know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy. So I'm going to do it right. I'm not all sandbagging at tournaments. I'm just trying to get better.
I love it. Too.
Now, are you still scheduled to fight Roy Bradshaw?
Roy Bradshaw and I are either fighting in the cage or we're fighting in the street or we're fighting in the gym. We're fighting. When you stand in the middle of the cage and flip me off and tell me, fuck you, motherfucker, the second time, we're fighting.
Oh,
that's awesome. Man, he, the first time.
No, he got armbarred the first time. He's over there yelling, all right, and then he yells at me because I'm rough and it's a fight. Well, the second time, he taps, and I wait to make sure that he's tapping, and then he gets up and yells at me and told me I fucked him and, you know, told me every which way possible. Well, let's see how it feels while you're fucking me, I guess. Let's see how you enjoy it. That's all I'm going to say.
A reach around. Come, there's no reach around.
Oh, man, the worst thing about it is I'm calling it an exhibition. The worst thing about it for him is I'm calling it an exhibition just so he can't get paid either while I'm whooping his ass. Absolutely.
You're
dude,
that, man.
Well,
I
dude, I mean, I
should be capitalizing. I'd be thinking even to say, okay, you're going to pay me 15 and 15?
I didn't say I'm not getting paid. He's not getting paid.
There you go.
You know, I'll have 100 plus people there to watch me fight. So, I mean, that's up to the promoter to whatever. But I'm like, you know, I just, some of these younger guys don't understand. We pay, dude, I was the very first close fist fight in the state of Washington because I fought Frank Shamrock's team. He brought his guys up to fight us guys from AMC. I fought David Velasquez. Ivan Salisbury fought Kim Mason, who's in prison right now for murder. He's with us. And then, Hallman was supposed to fight Crazy Bob Cook, and the promoters didn't have enough money to put that on. And back then, the fight for open hand still to the ground, and I said, look, Frank Shamrock punched me in the face the night before at the hotel because we played a Frank on Frank, and he didn't enjoy it, so he punched me in the face, but whatever. So I told him, I go, look, I'm telling you right now, you might as well disqualify me because I'm punching David in his fucking face. I don't give a shit. I'm not slapping him. And I punished David for freaking 7 full minutes. I was not going to submit him. I was not going to let him out of that cage. So, you know,
in the open hand, were you able to use elbows?
Nope. Well, there wasn't any pros back then. This was in August of 99. No pro fights back then. We were technically under the table pros, kind of like no commission back then, you know? And so that's exactly what it was. And I was... I'll tell you the story on Frank. You guys are like this. So they put Frank on the same floor as us. So me and Hallman, who are a bunch of pranksters, I filled a trash can up with water and leaned it against his door. We beat on his door, took off running. Well, when he opens up the door, it dumps water all over his feet. Now, you guys got to understand, Frank was the UFC. He was the UFC champion at this time, too. He wasn't like some just... has been, was never going to, he was UFC champion. So we go running down the hall, giggling like little girls. We go into one room. It's me, Ivan, and Dennis. We go into one room. We're ripping the screen off the window, jumping out the window, laughing. Well, Frank boots the door off the hinges. Boom! We jump out, we go running down the street laughing. And then Ivan's like, oh, shit, man, that rolls all my stuff. We go back. Frank took everything of Ivan's out of there. Everything. Gone. So we go call Frank and just hangs up. I go, Ivan, there's only one way we're going to get your shit back. Well, we got to go down there and go get it. So we go down to Frank's room to go get it. And now Frank's got his tennis shoes on and he's pissed. He's hot. This is like 2:30 in the morning too. This isn't early. We're messing with him really. So he's, and Ivan, you know, Ivan's a Mr. Nice guy. He's like, no, I'm sorry, sir. We were just playing. And Frank's like, you don't know who you're fucking with. I'll kill you, motherfucker. You stupid motherfucker. He's livid. And Ivan's like, sorry, sir. Can I have my stuff back? And Frank steps back, opens up his door and says, you want your shit? Come in and get it. Ivan's like, I ain't going in there. And I go, fuck that shit, I will. I took two steps in, he palm punches me right in the face. Wow. I go, all right, I won't go in there then. He's like, you guys are... No, he had no Brady. He was UFC champion back then. And so he's like, you guys are fighting my guys tomorrow. We're going to beat the fuck out of you. Oh, yeah, well, guess what? You guys picked on the wrong team. They went home 0-3, and they got their asses whooped by us. You know, it was quite the night.
This is why we have this show, folks. It's because nowhere else will you hear a story like this, man. Fuck yeah.
Was that the transition?
By Frank Shamrock. That's great.
How much longer was it before the state of Washington transitioned away from full pancration rules to the closed fist?
In 2000 was our first professional event at the I was in Korea, so it was between January and August of that year of 2000. I was in Korea when the first one happened. So they actually did a pro show on the reservation, and that's when they first started and stuff. So it was quite a while.
Well, you're like 50 then, aren't you? Are you 50? 52?
Me? I'm only 41, bro. I'm only 41. In dog years, you know, my body's probably about 52.
You're not better than me.
Know.
Come on.
Man, I wish you could see some of the shows that me and Hallman had at our gym, underground shows with gloves that were optional, headbutts were legal. You paid you'd buy like six cases of beer. You paid $15 to get in, and freaking beer was free till it ran out.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's how.
Oh, man.
That's old school.
Oh, old school, man. Munson was a ref one time.
Were the fighters allowed to drink? Were the fighters allowed to drink?
They were not supposed to, but we did not regulate this stuff. You know how.
Did you say Munson was the referee?
Oh, you don't understand. Munson was reffing the one fight in the main event. The guy headbutts him, just splits his eye open. Jeff's standing there, his blood's gushing out. I jumped over. I'd never even ref yet at this point. I jumped over the ropes into the ring and fucking stopped the fight. I was like, Jeff, what are you doing? This guy's going to die.
Jeff's like, I'm waiting for a north-south choke to stop it.
Well, yeah. I'm about ready to turn a Jeff fight on here shortly. I'm about ready to go to bed, so I'm getting tired.
Yeah, right. Well, hey, brother, we always love it when you join us.
Hamlet, what do you think about Hamilton Kovacs?
Hamilton Kovacs? It's an interesting fight. I mean, I ref the last one. It's an interesting fight. Kovacs is just tough. You just never – I never count out Kovacs, and he's getting better, you know, and it's – If he can keep it on his feet, he's got a chance. But if he can't, it's not going to work in his favor, in my opinion.
Not usually on the ground.
Yeah, I mean it is what it is. I didn't know about that monster that freaking Hamilton's fighting next. That guy's a monster. Whoever that guy is from Calgary, you guys are telling me about.
Dude, Rama.
Rama.
Rama's gonna beat him. I'm sorry. I think Rama's the future of the sport.
Anthony, do they let that fight happen, do you think? 6 weeks apart?
Which one?
For Hamilton to fight Kovacs, it's only 6 weeks away from him fighting Smolino Rama.
Well, most contracts are 30 days, so I don't see why not.
There you go.
You know? But what happens if he gets beat? If Kovacs beat him, shit, that's good. Maybe, I don't know if Kovacs can get into Canada, or if it's in Canada,
no. Maybe
Kovacs could take the fight, if not.
No.
Well,
either way, whoever takes the fight's going to lose.
Yeah.
PJ
was the best matchup for him, but I still think that this kid's just way too talented, too powerful, and way too fucking young to be this far along in his career. I mean, he's going to make a serious statement in the next few years about the heavyweight division.
Is he a striker or a grappler? Because I looked him up. He's got a little bit of both.
He's primarily a boxer, but he's been really focusing on his Brazilian jiu-jitsu and his wrestling. Nice. I think he has a 36-inch standing vertical, if I remember right.
Yes.
Is he black?
No.
No, dude.
No.
He's a fucking... Czechoslovakian background or something. I don't know.
So in other words, he's white that hasn't been saturated by other weaker white genes that breaks him down.
Well, and he's got a cousin that trains up there, Elvis Vukai, this kid is just crazy, but he is a fucking badass in the cage. There's a whole bunch of guys out of that gym up there. I think now they've changed over to Golden Rama, but it was independent MMA there in Calgary. Right. Vlad Goldenstein is the boxing coach, and then I know that Rama goes elsewhere to train his jits and wrestling, though. But he's doing that 5 days a week and then doing boxing.
Is he going to be Zuffa bound soon, or what? Is he going to go there, you think, or is he going to go somewhere else?
I think he's got a little bit before he's ready for that.
Yeah, I'd say he's got 3 or 4 more fights in the MFC, and then you might see him... in a Bellator tournament.
I'd like to see him go to KSW and fight.
Which one is that one?
I think KSW, for really testing at where a pro heavyweight is at, is a lot better than going to fucking Bellator. Like, I think there's better heavyweights in KSW. I don't know, maybe Cyrus or Casey. I don't know what they think, but I think that's a better...
You got a marketing machine in Pudzilla, you know, for sure.
Yeah.
And anybody that saw him, they're always looking for somebody to fight him. You know, and this time, of course, McCorkle, he ended up on top. So, you know, he's going to be there for a while, too. So he's a monster.
Yeah, I think Carl Bedorf's a real legit heavyweight, too, man. That's the guy right now. I mean, that's the guy main event in their next show against Nastula. He's probably going to run right through them. They're just kind of building that up as a Cinderella story with Nastula being so old and... you know, making the comeback against Bedorf. But I think Bedorf's probably going to run him over. I think he's pretty much the heavyweight king around there, really.
Why did you guys DJ a chance against this guy, though? What's style-wise? Why did you guys give him a chance with this guy?
With Rama?
Yeah.
Jeff will tell you.
No, I like DJ.
Come on, Jeff.
I like DJ.
Do you?
I think that he's got a good counter to what Rama's good at. And I elusive and fast, so he's not going to get, you know, cornered very well. You need to be faster than Rama. If you go straight at him, then he's going to be just ugly.
I think DJ does better at heavyweight than he does at 205 or lower, man, in my opinion, because his athleticism shows more, you know what I mean?
I agree.
He's quick. Stop, so.
I agree, and I think Linderman's advantage in that fight is on the ground, truthfully. I think on the feet he loses.
Yeah, DJ stands enough to put you where he's dominant, which is his ground. I mean, I've prepped him, I've watched him and stuff like that. He can stand. I mean, that second fight with 300 Hayes, he stood quite a bit in that fight. He actually won the striking, in my opinion, in that second fight that they fought overseas.
I agree. I totally agree. He definitely dominated him standing up, and he did it to prove a point. I think Rama has too much power and technique, and Rama catches him.
You definitely don't want to stand with Rama. I mean, and you also want to do hardly anything in the first round. Drag him out of that first round. You know what I mean, Jay? You know, he looks kind of like the Holman kind of guy. You know, Dennis Holman's reputation was before. If you drug Holman out of the first round, he was, you know, dead basically. You know, so maybe this guy can be the same. Who knows? We don't know yet.
Well, that's, you know, we pointed that out with Sapo. You know, Sapo has either won all his fights in the first round or they've been decision losses mostly in the third and a few decision wins. But in between rounds 1 and 3, all his losses happen, you know, or between round 2 and 3, all his losses happen. There's certain guys out there that are super dominant in that first round, but if you can push them into a territory they're not comfortable or used to being, that's where you can take the advantage to your side.
And that's yeah, he still doesn't have Obama. He still doesn't have an opponent yet, by the way. They're still trying to find somebody to match up against him, against Sapo. Nobody's stepping up. I don't know. They just can't find anybody for him right now.
When I used to manage Pat Healy when we were trying to get him in the IFL, that's how we beat Hallman, because they actually fought. And a lot of people know that's not on his record, because I said, look, in the first round, don't do anything. Let him take you down. Let him do, you know, dominant position. I go, just tie him up. And Pat did that. And then the second round, Pat Healy came out and put a really bad beat down on Dennis. Dennis didn't even come out for the third round. A lot of people don't even know about that, you know. Pat Healy is a monster, who knows if this guy is going to be what he's going to be if we can get somebody can drag him out of that first round.
Yeah. Well, for Sapo, I mean, you know, it's interesting that, you know,
what do you
a
think
lot
about
fighters
Hallman
after.
Versus Hornbuckle?
Say that one more time. Hallman
what
and
do you
Hornbuckle.
Think about Hallman versus Hornbuckle.
I don't know. Hornbuckle's tied. The thing is if Dennis has 10 minutes of cardio in him, then I think he wins the fight, because he can get through one. You know, I mean, he's always been able to get through pretty much. But if he's got enough cardio to push stuff, I don't know where he's been training. I don't really know anything about him. But Hornbuckle's one of those scrappy guys. He's a survivor. You know what I mean? Kind of a what's El Quiscador? What's his name? The retired. What's his name from Boston?
Joey Beltran?
No, El Quiscador, the Puerto Rican guy, the freaking. He just retired, whatever his name is. He's from Boston. Anyways, Hallman fought him and lost to him because he's one of those guys that's a survivor too, you know. So.
Well, see, the thing with Hornbuckle, I think, is a factor that people don't realize is how tight his tie game is. I think his clinch work is fucking amazing.
Yeah, but so is, what's the other guy that fights in Bellator at 170 from American Top Team? He's been in the tournament finals.
Ben Saunders?
Yeah, Ben Saunders is too, and Ben Saunders, I mean, who's got a better clinch game out of those two guys, Hornbuckle or Saunders? Who do you think?
Saunders. Saunders has a really good clinch game, and it's frustrating
and
that
Hallman
he doesn't have
to. And Hallman was able to beat him. Hallman was able to beat him for 3 rounds. Yeah.
That's true. That's a good point.
I think personally, if Hallman could have just gotten a title fight with Matt Hughes, then everything would have been answered for him.
I tried talking him into it a long time ago. Dennis wanted too much money for that. You know, I was like, dude, right now is the time it's hot. Make as much money off it as you can. And the money that he wanted, they weren't willing to pay that. I was like, I guarantee you Hughes would have taken the fight. Hughes wanted, who wouldn't want to revenge that loss? Those two losses are embarrassing, horrible.
That
was
two losses, and that was crazy. I couldn't believe it. You know, the first time it happened, you're like, oh, that was a crazy upset. The second time it happened, it's like, what's going on?
Well, the first time, Hughes didn't know anything. You know, he really didn't. He was really just a wrestler. But the second time, he was in the top of his game at home. And I helped train Dennis for that fight. I mean, I slammed him on his head probably 100 different times. So it was no big deal, because we knew Hughes was going to be doing that. You know, and he has his number. But I don't know. I'd rather somebody have my number and become a world champion like Hughes and be where he's at than have somebody else's number. And, you know, I wouldn't switch places if I was either one of those guys. I'll tell you that right now. If I was, you know, I would do it if I was Dennis, but not if I was Hughes.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. What do you guys, did you guys talk about the UFC tonight?
No, we didn't touch on it at all.
We've been busy talking about real MMA. Come on, Hamlet.
I like, what's his name? What's his name from Boston? Gotta get Spider the Night all the time.
Oh, Lauzon?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I gotta run, guys. Yeah, I like watching him fight. I'll hit you guys up, man. I gotta run. See you here.
Later.
Later. Wow.
And just like a ghost, Hamlet's into the night.
Well, Dude, I tell you what, you know, he did touch on the UFC. There's only one fight on that whole card that even really, truly interests me, and that's Alistair. I want to see how he looks after all this time, you know.
I want to see the John Howard Uriah Hall fight. I think that sounds kind of fun. There's a couple fights on that card that don't look too bad. Conor McGregor fighting too. I like watching Conor McGregor, so there's some good stuff on that card.
What do you guys think about Max Holloway?
I think he's good, man. He's game, but I think McGregor's just on a real fucking tight roll right now. I think he's gonna roll him. I think it's a confidence thing, and I think he's gonna outskill him too. I think McGregor's the real deal, dude.
No, I definitely agree. I think Conor is definitely the real deal. And I just think that I hope that the UFC doesn't cut Max, you know, regardless of what happened. Because I mean, he's young, and the kid's got a lot of fucking heart and a lot of talent.
I don't think they'll cut him. I don't think they'll cut him. I mean, he comes out there every time and puts on a good fight, man. He generally just does a damn good job, and he's coming off a win. So, I mean, I'd say they hold on to Holloway. He'd just be having one loss there. Because he's coming off a win, am I right? Didn't he get a knockout?
Yeah.
I thought he did. He's coming off a win, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, because it's usually win versus win most of the time when you look at their matchmaking. McGregor's coming off a win.
He lost a split decision, remember, against Bermudez?
Okay. Well, there you go.
At the Bigfoot Vasquez 2 fight, he lost a split decision, but then he beat Leonard Garcia previously split, Justin Lawrence, TKO in the second, Pat Schilling, unanimous. But
the only way anybody beats Leonard Garcia is on a split decision, so that's pretty much, he's on course there.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter what you do in a fight with Leonard Garcia. You could beat the shit out of him and be in top position for 14 minutes out of a 15-minute fight.
There's
going to
be one judge.
Yeah.
I love Leonard Garcia. He just swings those arms, brother.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's great that he went down to legacy. I think he can definitely still fight and be exciting. You guys touched on the Howard Hall fight. Look, I'm kind of a big fan of Doomsday. You know, you look at his losses the last time he had his run in the UFC, and they're good losses. I mean, decision losses to Brown Alves and a doctor stoppage late in the third to Ellenberger. Other than that, the guy's been on a tear. He's got a loss to Leonard Silva probably mid-last year. I mean, that guy's 20-7 with only two losses in the last 7 years. So, I mean, you know, he's fighting tough competition. I think Uriah Hall's not ready for him. I think Uriah Hall is more hype from a TV show build-up standard point of view than he is as an MMA fighter. And I think Howard goes in there and beats the shit out of him.
Well, that's going to spoil a lot of plans if he does.
I think Howard's about to make that guy's whole day go bad.
I don't know what the odds are on that one, but it might not be a bad bet to take.
Well, yeah, I honestly don't know what the odds are on it either, but I'm betting just because of the hype train, which is something that I think is really funny, and most people don't realize, you guys probably, when the UFC runs all those little segments and half-hour shows about a fighter, I truly, truly believe it's to help sway the fucking odds at the casinos. I truly do. You see the odds change within a 24-hour period, you know? So I think Uriah Hall is going to be a big favorite, and anybody who bets against him is going to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you might be right on that one, for sure. Hey, did
Paul's
you guys talk anything about Rough China, Tim?
About Rough China? We've not talked about Rough yet.
Oh, Rough Korea Wait. Rough or China Rough?
Rough, not. Rough China, brother. Rough China. Rough China 10's coming up. I know you guys love your Asian MMA, and they got a pretty fucking stacked card, man. They're bringing back a lot of their champions, those million RMB winners that they had at Rough 8. And I think it looks pretty solid. You guys ought to keep an eye on that one.
I'm pretty sure we'll probably watch the stream if we can find it. I know that they're kind of hard to get, but we've actually been lucky lately to find some of the events from them.
I miss another Asian MMA event, as long as when Gracian 11 comes on, I don't miss that one.
Damn straight. you guys. We'll make sure you guys trust us. We'll tag you. We'll call you. That's an event that you will not have a problem wanting to stay up to watch after you watch the first one, and you'll be like, I need this every week.
What's it called? Say it again.
Gratian. G-R-A-C-H-E-N, yeah. And you know, Super Fight League's in the morning.
Two of them, supposedly,
Do they need commentators for that, or no?
Gratian, I tell you what, Gratian don't even have time for commentators. Like, their referee is the ring announcer, the medical guy, the ring girl, and the corner man. Yeah, like literally, they just walk two fighters down. You fight. As soon as you win, before your hand's even raised, the next guy's walking to the ring and his music's playing. No shit. And what's funny is they'll mute all the walkout songs, but when they repost the video individual fights on their YouTube page, the music's there. And it's blocked out because they don't want to pay usage rights. And it's like all American rap music and rock and roll music. It's hilarious.
That's my type of music right there, then.
Seems
like you guys are on the right
there. I think you have your dad and your brother hold down the fort there at Rough 10. Your dad and brother, are they going to be back here for Rough 10 this time?
Yeah, they're going to be there.
Yeah, I thought I saw on the stream they were out there eating popcorn in the audience. Out there.
They were, brother. My dad and my brother actually live in China, so they went to the last they went to Rough 9, and then my dad's going back to Rough 10, so I got the Chinese connection over there. Yeah, we want to get over there bad. It's all about finding the money, man. You know, me and Casey are always trying to get overseas and get to commentate all these shows, and you know, they just got to find a good outlet to have that English commentary, and they got to make it worth their while, and that's our constant struggle is to make that happen. So that's what we're doing Monday through Friday.
The thing with on the 24th, all three of those events going on the 24th, that's going to be pretty crazy. And then coming up, we have two fights that we're kind of involved with. Of course, Superior Challenge is going to be going on, and then the same night, it's the Cuff event that's down in Trinidad and Tobago. And that's kind of cool because they actually the guy that promotes the event down there, Adam, he just met with the Ministry of Tourism in Trinidad. So there's a big push to get a flow of constant American travelers down to Trinidad, and part of that's going to be an MMA push. So it's really cool, and it looks like they're going to be funding a lot of that. So we're kind of involved with that and kind of anxious to get down there. One of our guys, one of our friends actually went down, Mike Wade, and fought on the last one. It was a little bit of a controversial decision when we were trying to work it out again, like a rematch and stuff.
It's funny you say that because Macedonia's government's doing the same thing right now. They're working with a buddy of mine, they're actually going to be providing the trip we're working on. The Rogue Show is going to be giving away a trip to Macedonia's fans to go see live MMA, and that's who we're working with. Because they're the ones who kind of want to do this push and open up the American market for fighters to come to Macedonia, since they're going to start having a sanctioning body over there in 2014. So it's interesting to see countries outside the United
Saint
States.
Flawless.
Big shout out to Sting, bro. Love you. Yeah. Mad love for everything you're doing for us at Rogue and Madhouse. It's nice to see countries using this sport like they would soccer, baseball, or anything else to help bring in tourism. It gives it more legitimacy that it's a sport and not some crazy cockfight.
No doubt. I agree, man. As long as they need people, we're going to be there.
And I just hope of these younger fighters will understand that there's opportunities like that out there, and that, I mean, you know, I understand that, you know, ultimately maybe the goal is you want to fight in the UFC, but if you get opportunities like to fight in places like what we've been talking about tonight, take full advantage of it. Like, it's a paid fucking vacation. Like, literally, you're going to get paid to go there, you're going to get to fucking do what you love to do, and check out some crazy areas. I mean, no matter who I've talked to, it's the opportunity to go overseas that MMA has provided you. What do you think about it, Cyrus and Casey?
I think that when I first started doing this
sport, my dream was to be able to travel the world and see the world through mixed martial arts, you know, and I thought it would be through fighting, and then I thought it would be through coaching, but it's been through this, and to me, that was beyond the, but, you know, the UFC was just the UFC back then, you know what I mean? It wasn't what it is today, so, you know, most everybody's kind of saying, I want to be in the UFC, but for me, I wanted to go overseas. I wanted to, you know, when we sent one guy over to Russia, you know, to fight in front of the Russian president. And to me, that was the biggest deal. That, you know, that was the first time we sent anybody overseas to fight, and that was a huge deal. And to me, you know, to him, he fought Bellator, and he also fought Strikeforce, and he says Russia still is the biggest thing he's ever done.
Oh, man. No, I agree. And there's such a different circuit out there, and that's what we, you know, it's what you guys do at Madhouse. That's what we do at MMA Inside the Cage, is bring this to light. And I agree, man. A lot of these fighters, these young, hungry fighters, there are definitely a lot of opportunities out there if they market themselves right, if they make the right contacts. And you could be fighting all over the world. I mean, put together 3 or 4 pro wins and, you know, have a good character, have a good personality, and you'll be jet-setting around the world. Stop fucking around at every Ultimate Fighter tryout and go do some shit. You know what I mean? Go see the world a little bit. And don't get stuck in America for your whole career, dude. Yeah, I agree. The whole world is an oyster, man. Go get that shit.
Yeah, Donnie Lester had the freaking Rocky Balboa dream of a lifetime, man, to go to Australia, and he did both those fights. I mean, he'd never had a pro fight before. He was just a big, monstrous guy, and he was in the right place at the right time, and he got that opportunity. And, you know, I mean, those are things that he'll remember the rest of his life.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I always hear. That's what these guys always say. It's like shit they'll remember the rest of their lives. You know, because people always say, I'm going to go there on vacation one day to, like, these far-off places, like, to go fight at EFC Africa and South Africa. You know, people are like, oh, I'll just go to there on vacation. And they never go. So why not get paid to fucking go?
That's what I'm saying.
Now, I'll say this.
All day.
I'll say this. To do commentary is something that I love. Now, I'll say going overseas, I wouldn't necessarily call it a vacation, and I'll say this, if you get involved where, you know, you get over there and you're with people who have the mindset of being on vacation, and you're getting ready for a fight, you know, it can mess with your head over there. You know, it's one thing if you've got jet lag and that sort of thing, but, you know, it's a big ordeal. It's larger than life. You can fight the same person over here, but when you go overseas, because of the allure and what's around you, I mean, it can cause a spur of your nerves. I wouldn't call it a vacation. It's more of a vacation, you know, for Cyrus and myself, because we're not getting beat in the face, you know, because we're getting to enjoy it. And to me, you know, I love the work that we do. I mean, it's my passion to do that stuff. But when, you know, going over there as a fighter, you know, it's not necessarily vacation, but what it is like a legitimate experience. You're experiencing a culture. You know, if you fight in the UFC, if you fight in Atlanta, Georgia, you know, that arena is got the UFC in it, but the next day, it's just Atlanta, Georgia. You know, it's a place that, you know, I mean, you know, Atlanta is awesome, but it's another city in the United States. You know what I mean?
I 100% agree. And, you know, you guys, we talked about it earlier, John Nutman, something they touched on is the influx of American fighters now coming over to Cambodia, Thailand, Southeast Asia in general to fight as pros, not only to train over there with great technical strikers, but to experience another part of the world and learn and get paid to fight. I mean, you know, one of the most prime examples who we're all fans of is Will Chope. I mean, look at what that kid did.
Will the Kill.
He goes overseas.
Exactly.
He does. He goes overseas. Years, he puts out 50 fights between Sambo, pro Muay Thai, pro MMA, pro boxing. 50 fights and get paid over 3 years. And he's able to live successfully and travel all throughout Asia and throughout Russia to train. You know,
and fuck mad broads. And fuck mad broads. Come on.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, I don't understand. I mean, look, I know over there, like, you know, especially, you know, the money, you're not getting $20,000 to fight. You might get, you know, $300 to fight, you know, in Cambodia, you know, but the thing is, 2 weeks later, you can fight again, you know, or you can go up into Thailand 2 weeks later and fight again, or you could jump over to Laos and fight again. And that's the thing is, you can't do that here in America as well. And even if you're getting small amounts and continue to grow and learn, it's like you said, Atlanta's Atlanta when it's all said and done. You go over to Thailand and you've got a plethora of legendary gyms that are more historic and been around longer than any gym in the United States could ever want to be around.
Yeah.
Nope, no doubt about it. Hey, I'll tell you, here's the thing, too. When you go over there to Cambodia and Thailand and China and some of those and you make 400 and 400, you're living high on the hog over there, brother. I know
yeah.
that firsthand. I was there for 8 months. I made $700 a month teaching over there, and I was one of the richest motherfuckers in town. So, I mean, you can live good over there. If you can immerse yourself, and if you don't have a bunch of connections and baggage and stuff, probably like Will did, you know, you can go over there and be living nice, man, and really loving it. And that's probably why he did what he did. Because, you know, you can't do that in America. You're making $300 and shit. You can't pay your bills. You can't pay your rent. You can't do nothing. You know what I mean? So you go over there. I mean, it really is. It's an opportunity for people that are willing to immerse themselves in it. No doubt about
it. And that's the thing. Yeah, you know, if you truly want to make a living at it, because, you know, I know a lot of professional fighters, and I know very, very few professional fighters that make a living exclusively from this and support a family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
You could go somewhere and you can make a living and you're in a place where, you know, the cost of living, it equals out the amount of money that you're making and you can survive off the sport. That's a dream of a lifetime for a lot of people. But I don't think a lot of people realize it. You know, I think aspiring fighters, you know, they see the what's piped into the airwaves and what you should aspire for. But I think that a lot of fighters don't have those opportunities. At least, you know, I mean, there are some that are managed well, but then there are some guys that are just kind of coming up and they're going to latch on to the first company they come to, and then from there they're looking to hit Bellator, UFC, or you're like World Series. You know, they're trying to make that jump up from those promotions.
Zufa zombies, brother. That's what they are.
Yep. 100%
agree. But that's what they all are.
Dude, oh my God. I just looked at the Steve Gossett's card down there in Jackson, Mississippi on August 24th. There is 37 fights on this card.
Jesus.
Holy shit.
See, that's fucking ridiculous. You're a fucking asshole at that point.
Cyrus, you can't match that card.
Like, you're
brother.
A fucking, like, I can't, there's no, I cannot, I will pass out by the time we're at, like, the 25th fight.
We did a fight in Knoxville, Tennessee, like that, where they combined two cards, and it was, like, 30 fights, and I had to announce that bitch all the way through. Fuck. Like, my voice was done. We got there, what time did we get there, Casey? Like, 2:30 in the afternoon or something like that?
Like 1 o'clock in the afternoon because, you know, they did the kickboxing. They did kickboxing and, like,
grappling
matches first. Then this event that they had to cancel, like, a month before, they just threw it in there with it, and they actually called it a different event. And so they did the event all the way through the afternoon. Then they broke for, like, an hour, and then we came back, and you had the rest of the show, and it was a completely different event. It was, like, 30-some fights, man. It was ridiculous.
We left at 2 in the morning, yeah, and we were there over 12 hours. I mean, it was just the most ridiculous shit I've ever been a part of in my life.
What was the crowd like at that point? Like, I mean, what's the crowd?
Oh, they were gone.
What point does the crowd
get?
Well, I'll say this. They came and went because they, you know, like...
Yeah, you're right.
A group of people came in to see their crew of guys because it's basically the undercard show with an undercard main event, and then it started over with the next series. So you would see people kind of buy a ticket, and then they would leave halfway through, and then another crew of people would come in. You know,
well, yeah, you could go home, get a bite to eat, go play a game of Monopoly with 8 people, and then come on back, and there'd still be fucking fights going on.
Oh, shit, man. Like, I mean, you know, there gets to a point where you don't need to be like, okay, I put on 500 fucking fights today. Like, you don't get more credit for doing that. You get less credit for doing stupid shit like that.
Like, yeah, you're right.
Four,
you know what, though?
Fights,
they do some fights, though.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, 14 fights is a good number. 37 fights is not a good number.
No, you know, but Casey knows this guy. You know, we have a guy up here that hits the fairgrounds like twice a year, and this guy puts on 25 fights. They are mismatched as fuck. I mean,
they just
walk
people
out of their house. They got guys coming in with fucking basketball shorts and shit. And this guy, like you talked about, he's the promoter, the ring announcer, the theme music guy, the fucking judge, everything. And he gets the fights there. As quick as they lose, they're the fuck out of there, and the new fight's in there. And he legitimately keeps it about 2.5 hours, and it's like 25 fights. It's intense,
wow,
dude. I mean, it's just ass beating after fucking.
I'm okay.
But
with
I'm going to tell you this: this guy right here, he started out doing tough man contests, and he's like the best tough man promoter in the region. He's the best promoter I've probably ever dealt with, and it's.
Yep.
I mean, the fights like or what he says, but you're talking about having arenas. They had a National Guard armory built in one of these small towns up in Virginia that seated like 6,000 people, and they fill it up. It was absurd, and it was, you know, it was when they were doing Tough Man, and what they did was they took this group of people and started this other event, and it was an MMA event, and they used the same fighters, and they didn't have to pay to get in, but they would bring them down, and they would bring they brought Ken Shamrock in one time, or they'll bring in a special guest, and it's done this huge cattle barn. And I mean, for one of those, I mean, there were 4,000 people, and it was just it looked like you were auctioning off cattle in there, man. But it was MMA fights. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But that guy, he was rolling in dough. He knew how to put out posters and media and that kind of stuff, and spend a minimal amount of money. And he's one of the most successful promoters I've ever seen. It was kind of like McDonald's. You know, you're not going to see the best quality in the world, but he could sure pack some people in seats.
All right, one more crazy story before I don't know what time you guys are wrapping up, but Casey, what about when we went down to North Carolina, brother, and we did the commentary over the loudspeakers in a club, and the guy brings up his 2 8-year-old sons, and they do live mixed martial arts fighting, not grappling, not kickboxing, straight up fucking MMA fighting, 2 brothers, 8-year-olds, hold it down in North Carolina. What about that, Casey? Drink all that we want. We can just slam beers the whole fucking event. So we're trashed doing commentary over the loudspeakers. Influencing decisions and all kinds of shit. It was the craziest thing I've ever done.
Casey?
Did I represent it well?
Is that the craziest thing that we've ever done?
It's pretty close.
That was pretty wild. Yeah, that event in itself was pretty wild. But, you know, to me, the craziest thing I ever experienced was in Kentucky. Harlan, Kentucky, where they have that Justified TV show they is based around. It's right down the road here. When they started this event, Warrior Fighting, before you had any kind of commissioning, you just basically put up a ring and just brought guys in to fight, and that was that. And so this guy was making money hand over fist doing that. But they had just done professional wrestling matches, so you would see the guys that were so redneck, they would come, piling in there. A guy would slide out underneath the rope, and again, we're talking about the ropes here. The guy's corner would go and stalk the guy in the mouth. Like, the guy would be laying there, and his corner would run over and bust him in his head, and there's no commission or anything, so they would, strictly call the guy down if they don't do that anymore, and then they would continue with the fight. I was never there. I saw footage of it, but when I got there, they had gotten a cage, but they didn't have any barricades, so the fans had their fingers in the cage, shaking the cage, and it was mass amounts of people just surrounding and shaking. And I don't know how many fingers got broken, man, but it was the silliest, craziest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Well, on that, all right,
so wait.
Okay.
I want to take a poll real quick on one fight for tomorrow night. Uriah Faber, Yuri Alcantara, what's everybody thinking?
I don't know. I'll take
first.
I'll take Faber by default. I think Alcantara's a beast. I mean, I'll take Faber. I think he wins. He seems to do so damn good when the pressure's low. I think he's a beast. And I think the pressure's low in this fight, so I think he's going to beast out. I think he'll win.
I disagree. I think Faber loses this. I think, he's just not the Faber he was. I love Faber to death when he was the California kid back in the day, destroying people, going 20-1. He's just not that guy anymore. I think the level of competition has caught up with his talent level. And I believe he's going to lose this fight. I think it's going to be a grinder, and I think it's going to be a decision loss and possibly a split decision.
Casey?
I'll give it to Faber, and I, for the same reason as Cyrus, I think that there are a select group of people that can beat Uriah Faber, but if you don't hit that particular line, I think that his athleticism is still there, and I still
it
think
is.
He is a fighter, you know, and he's lost a step, and I don't know if that's because through age or wear and tear, or if it's simply because fame did it to him. But I think he has ups and downs in his career, and I think that when he's on par, he's always a dangerous fighter to bet against.
Well, anybody that can fight for four rounds with two broken hands is okay
yep.
in my book.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know most of five of his six losses have come in the last 3.5 years, and like I said, I think it's more about the fact that his talent level, which has carried him so far in his younger career, has now met people who have a level of skill and training that are on par with his talent, his athletic talent. I think he is just starting to be equalized out with the competition coming today, because he was the hybrid back when he first started. I mean, he was so different of a fighter, when he was winning all those fights, at King of the Cage and in his beginning years at WEC, he was just, he was different. He wasn't the norm, and I think too many people have figured out his game plan. People realize he's a cardio machine and he can grind, and they're counteracting it with their own cardio and their ability to be able to take it. And it just takes that one round where you beat him standing up or you beat him on the ground, and the fight goes to you with a decision.
I don't know, man. When you look at who Uriah Faber loses to, it's like a who's who list of bantamweight and featherweight
champions. Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. I mean, he loses to champions. I mean, Dominic, he just couldn't figure out Dominic Cruz. And I mean, God, who can?
Dominic Cruz, though, doesn't fight. Dominic Cruz doesn't fight. I don't want people to misunderstand that, my stance on him. He doesn't like to engage. He, like, bounces around like he's some kind of fucking Adam. And, I don't know. I don't know really how he wins fights.
What do you think about Cruz, Casey?
Dominic Cruz?
Yeah.
I think he's a sweetheart of a guy, man. Outstanding.
Now, hey.
Now you had a crush.
What do you mean? What do I think of his talent?
What do you think of his fight style? What do you think of his fighting style, Casey? I don't care about his horoscope and what the fuck he does on the weekend.
I think he's a hustler, and I think he loads up. And the thing is, he keeps something in your face all the time. And I think that especially for his, in his weight class, he's got some power, he's got snap, but he hustles really, really hard. And it's the kind of fighter that can keep Uriah Faber at bay, because I'll say this, man, regardless of, guys coming up, up on him with skill and finding out how to kind of figure him out, Faber is one of those guys that it doesn't matter how good you are. If Faber would have gotten in the right spot on Jose Aldo or any of his opponents, it could be real, real bad for him. Meaning, he's one of those guys that has got that intensity. He goes after a rear naked choke. It looks like his entire body locks around that choke. So at any point in time,
he can make, you know, if you make a mistake, he'll get you.
No,
I think that,
I completely
hold on, wait.
Okay, sorry.
And so I think, you know, coming back, you know, if they were to face again, I think that, you know, that is sort of the answer to a Uriah Faber is to, you know, to stay in his face and, you know, and not allow him. And that's exactly what, you know, his other losses have been. You know, they've been able to keep him at bay. They've been able to hustle enough to where he can't set the pace, because if he sets the pace, his athleticism. I know Rafael Santal from a long time back, and I was talking to Jeff Bedard, and he was saying, man, just you have no, you know, Santal is incredible. And if anybody's ever, you know, seen him perform or work out with him, he is absolutely incredible, fast, one of the most athletic people I've ever seen train. And he said that Uriah Faber was just beyond fast, beyond explosive. You know, the most explosive person he ever worked with. You know, and he went on to get some big wins after that, Rafael did. And it's just, I think that there's some people that are born with what he's born with. And I think that, you know, when he gets kind of that train going, I think that's where he's at. But, you know, but like I said, I think you stay in his face, then you can beat him.
I think,
Skippy, what do you disagree with, brother?
I think Dominic Cruz is. I think Dominic Cruz, for me, he's not a finisher. I mean, you know, somebody, he's like a GSP. He's out there just to secure a win, not a finish. He doesn't look. He's 9-1 in his last 10 fights, 9 decisions. He's not going out there to kill. Just because he gets people in bad positions, he doesn't know how to finish. He's not a finisher. He's not a great champion in my book. You know, you look at Uriah Hall, he's got four decision wins in his whole career, okay? And he's got 16 submissions and 7 knockouts. He's a finisher. You look at Dominic Cruz, he's got 1 submission, 6 knockouts. That's it. He's got 12 decisions, and those are all come, most of those have come since he lost to Faber, and it's because he plays it safe. If he's that good and that talented that he can get somebody in a rear naked choke or hurt standing up, why can't he finish him?
I mean, I when you talk like with Uriah Faber, I think and Cruz, you're talking about, like I said, to me, I think it's a body versus a manufactured fighter. Meaning, a manufactured fighter is someone who developed all of his skills in order. You know, he's not quite the body that Uriah Faber is. I think that Faber, if you never taught that guy how to fight, you just said, hey, here's how you do a rear naked choke, here's how you do a guillotine choke, and here's how you throw a right hand, Uriah Faber would go into, you know, with nothing, just his sheer ability, put him into a cage, and he would be knocking out people in an amateur level and probably knock out a few pro fighters just because his athleticism is that way. I think Dominic Cruz is doing what he can with what he's got. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a whole lot, but I'm saying that he's at a very, very upper echelon level, a very top level. I mean, you know, at the lower levels, as you saw him come up, you know, he's going to look a lot better. But every time you fight, if you're the champion, you fight the number one contender every single time. And I think does what he can, and I think he uses the best he can. But you're right, he isn't a finisher. But, you know, if you look back at, like, Sugar Ray Leonard, that's how I would compare it. I mean, you're always going to have your dancers and you're going to have your Marvin Hagler's. I always tend to go towards the Marvin Hagler's. I enjoy that fight better, or Roberto Duran. But I think that there is a place for your Sugar Rays, and I think that's kind of what Cruz is.
Well,
for me, I think the thing about Uriah Hall is like, you know, some people would say he's been in maybe the best featherweight and bantamweight fights to ever happen. Like, there's arguments to be made that last fight with Dominic Cruz was the best bantamweight fight ever, and then you could say his fight with Jose Aldo was the best fight, you know, featherweight fight ever.
That was a great fight. And folks, we're gonna call this a night, because everybody, well, me, I got to get up in the morning and go to work hungover, so. I'm going to try to get a little bit of sleep. But tomorrow, you guys, everybody, I understand somehow, I don't know if I'm retarded and we're missing it, but we saw that Super Combat's going to be live in the morning, so I'll be at work watching Super Combat. I think it's wrong, but
because I thought their next event was in Transylvania on the 31st, but I saw a link for it on a couple of different sites.
It's not. I talked to Mr. Aremia earlier today, actually, and he said that it was the 30th and 31st, so I don't know if the link's wrong or not, but I'm pretty sure there's not an actual Super Combat going down.
That's what I thought, because they just sent me a press release, like, Monday to put up for the 31st.
Yeah.
So
in Transylvania?
Yeah.
Transylvania.
Yes.
Dude, I'm telling you this. You get us over there, we'll do an inside the cage spot inside Dracula's castle, man.
That's where the fight is. That's the fight in Dracula's castle.
In Dracula's castle?
Yes. That's somewhere that Matt, we'll have to go scout that one out for you guys, and we'll let you know how it is.
Oh, wow.
You'll definitely want to send the Madhouse crew into Transylvania first just to make sure it's safe. We'll sweep the country.
Well, I appreciate you guys having us in tonight. I had a good time.
It's always a blast chatting with you guys, and I definitely agree with what you're saying about Uriah. I mean, I think that there was a time, you know, in 05, 06, 07, you could argue he was probably top three in the world. And a lot of that was just due to his athleticism. I mean, he could throw knees and shit from anywhere.
No doubt. Well, fellas, it's been wonderful. I encourage everybody to listen to this show and go to Madhouse to watch our clips and check them out, because we're changing the world, baby, together.
Damn straight, everybody. Little Nostrovia for everybody.
Yeah, Nostrovia.
Peace to everybody. We'll see you guys later.
See you later, brother.